It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A lot of communities have lost their local news sources.
But many people still have a hunger for reliable sources of local information.
A survey this summer from the Marquette University Law School asked people about their local news habits and whether they subscribed to local papers or followed other local media.
For Wisconsinites, the answer to those questions isn't rooted in their political leanings or even demographics like race, age, or income.
Marquette journalism professor Patrick Johnson says it's about their civic engagement and the way they value news coverage as a civic good. He wrote an article on the topic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He says there are lots of lessons for the media and the public. Patrick, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Let's start with this piece you wrote for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel recently about civic engagement and restoring trust in local news. You start with this poll data from Marquette Law School this summer. As you dig into that data, what kind of things stood out to you about people's attitudes toward their local media?
Yeah, it was super cool because it's the first time the Marquette Law poll has actually asked this particular question. And when you look deeper into it, what you find out is it's not polarization, which tends to be what we media folks or even the national media kind of points out to, that it's Democrats trust the media, Republicans don't. It's a far right, a far left, a progressive, a MAGA movement, back and forth. And that's not what we're seeing in Wisconsin. That's not what the polling data suggests. Instead, what it suggests is Wisconsinites actually want a more civically responsible news. They want to see news as a civic good. And I think that's pretty dang cool.
Can you talk about that concept a little bit, the idea of seeing news as a civic good? This is not a new concept. It goes, I think, of people like Thomas Jefferson and others having these concepts. What do we mean by news as a civic good?
Yeah, you're right. It's not new. It is. You could go all the way back to good old Public Occurrences, the first newspaper in American history, to really see the fact that newspapers were meant to provide information to make people's lives easier, better, and more sustainable. And as we've grown, so has our information ecosystem. And what we've seen happen is the news industry has not been able to grow as quickly. And so we've slowly seen, especially with social media, this decline in this civic connection, this means of the news providing what people deem as their civic information, who to vote for, where to go to vote, what do they need to do to make their communities better, where do they need to go to donate, so on and so forth. And that's what the poll is suggesting people want and need. They don't simply just want to see, hear pundits. They want news to serve the information needs that the community wants, not what the national political ecosystem is providing them.
Before we dig more into that, I'm interested in hearing your background a little bit and what brought you into journalism and to have this perspective to tackle the issues you're tackling now.
Yeah, I am what would be called an anomaly, so to speak, a unicorn, so to speak. So I actually come from teaching K-12. I have my degrees in education and journalism. I taught high school for a while. And I left high school to get my doctorate at the University of Iowa. And I have approached questions that way, which is, again, very unique, very different. So when I think of these problems, I oftentimes think about community need, identity, education, because in large part, that is the core tenet to who I am. I think about the most vulnerable who oftentimes are in our K-12 infrastructures. I believe the more we invest in news at a local level and those local infrastructures, the more it will improve our local economies. I mean, there's research out there that points out that local news is connected to economic growth, I think we need to really contend with this idea of teaching news and media literacy in K-12 institutions. I'm a sucker for the newspaper and education programs, and so I think those need to come back. And I think we really need to think about, how do we help people understand how news serves them again, and not how they see news hurting them or harming them, which across the country, in the work I do with Trusting News, that's actually what we're seeing, is that people feel harmed.
Harmed by the news. How so? I mean, I could imagine it, not just the news, but the social media feed of that news. What are we seeing as far as the harm?
What we've noticed is the more folks tune into the national news in particular, the more they assume that is a reflection of their local news. And so one of the things that we did with Trusting News is we trained journalists to do interviews with community members who were disengaged with the news. And we wanted to see if those relationships that they could build would actually increase their desire to subscribe to those local news outlets. Now, these conversations did increase the likelihood that these folks would subscribe. But what we also learned is that these folks wanted to see their grandkids' volleyball game back in the news. They wanted to see coverage of the local alderman. They wanted to know what was going on Main Street. What they were upset about is, and this is across demographics, again, pointing against this almost polarized identity, this politicization identity that people kind of point to, is that they think the news points to the loudest person in the room, that every conservative becomes a caricature, every Black or brown individual becomes a caricature, every LGBTQ individual becomes a caricature. And as a result, these folks, because they see national news as essentially their beacon of news, they aren't seeing local as the representation of themselves as the local really is. And so to me, that's our opportunity to say, these people want to be seen. They want to be heard.
We're talking about trust in local media, public perception of it, with Patrick Johnson, assistant professor of journalism at Marquette's Diedrich College of Communication. Patrick, I had a conversation very recently with three local newspaper leaders in Wisconsin. Want to give a listen to one of them, Chris O'Leary, general manager of the Abbotsford Tribune Phonograph, publisher of five other newspapers in central Wisconsin. She talked about her local news publication doing what you were just talking about, honestly. Let's give a listen.
We're trying to cover the things that they're not going to see anywhere else. So that's attending school board meetings. That's attending city council. That's going to village meetings. It's covering our county board meetings. Basically, the big newspapers have forgotten about. And then being at the events that are happening in our communities. They see us visibly there, taking pictures, being part of the community, volunteering. And people know who the news people are.
And Chris also mentioned those high school sports events that you were talking about earlier. Patrick, as you hear Chris talk about that role, that sounds like it exactly matches up with what you're hoping to see more of in local news.
What Chris is doing, what Abbotsford is doing, that is exactly what more news outlets need to be doing. But we do have barriers to that. And I'm sure Chris would acknowledge this. We financially need to support the news. We just saw that massive hit with public media. If we're going to see news as a civic good, as a civic need, almost as a civic service, we have to have these financial infrastructures in place so that what they're doing can be replicated in other towns and other local papers, so that we don't have news deserts, so that people don't feel unheard or unseen, and that people do feel that the information they need is being delivered to them. And I think there's other ways that can be done, but certainly economics is something we do have to overcome if we're going to achieve the absolute good that Chris and their publication is doing.
That is a big hurdle, though. I mean, talking to Chris and some of her colleagues, they're doing these things. Their staff is spread thin often. As you mentioned, many communities have lost that local paper. They're news deserts in some ways. Doesn't seem to be a lot of appetite for public funding, at least from the federal level, for any kind of media. Do you see bright spots? Do you see models that are working to have maybe even that smaller town to have its own paper again?
I think we're seeing for sure one that is emerging, and that is the rise of a lot of these nonprofit newsrooms. We have several of them in Milwaukee, which, again, we have a different infrastructure comparatively to some of these smaller, more rural areas. So I acknowledge that. But nationwide, we're seeing this growing abundance almost of these nonprofit newsrooms who are really trying to place people in these communities so that they do feel as though they have the capacity for information to get to them. What might be controversial, but ideally my dream, and again, it's controversial because I'm going to come at this in a way that other people probably aren't going to and may get mad at me for coming at it this way. I think higher ed, and in particular journalism schools, need to get on board. And need to get on board in a way that we haven't before. Now, as an example, in Kansas, Terry Finneman runs the Eudora Times, which is a local newsroom that the University of Kansas is running. She's running as the publisher. Students are running that newsroom, and they're publishing local news content for that rural town. That's one example. My colleagues at the University of Iowa are creating an infrastructure tied to the Daily Iowan, where they're merging classroom practice with real newsroom experience to fill the gaps that a lot of the newsrooms in the area can't because of the lack of economic infrastructure. I think journalism schools, institutions of higher ed need to borrow from those kind of institutions. Ideally, I think we need to collectively work together to think about and borrow, beg, steal, whatever you want to call it, from engineering, from business, from nursing, from medicine. They have co-op programs or cooperative learning programs, meaning students take an extra semester usually, and they go work in the field. I think that's exactly what we need to do, is we need to start designing these programs where, for example, at Marquette, students take an extra semester and we work with, say, Abbotsford, and we send one of our journalism students up there, and in collaboration with us and them, that student is there for a semester to get that on the ground experience, to learn what does it mean to impact a community, to engage with a community. And hopefully we inspire the future to invest in a way that maybe they haven't seen or understood before. And I know that's blissful optimism, but I think there is power in the ways in which education can really drastically change how journalism is understood, perceived, and hopefully funded.
For an existing news outlet that's maybe covering a little wider area than, you know, one town or one community, what advice do you have to be there, to have that public presence and to find out what the residents of the communities they cover want to hear from them?
I think one of the things that's really great, and it's borrowing from what's called the engagement journalism movement or the engagement journalism model, is I think the journalists can and should spend at least one day a week just in the community, where they literally sit there and they introduce themselves to the community, where they say, I'm X, I'm a reporter for Y, and I'm here to listen. What do you think is happening in your community? What do you think we're not covering? What would you like me to talk about? The data shows that over 80% of people have never actually talked to a journalist. So of course it's going to seem kind of scary when all of a sudden interviews appear and they don't understand why a certain sentence got picked out from something that they talked to them about for 30 minutes. So I think that's one option. I think the other thing that newsrooms can and should be doing that are in existing fashion is creating more public engagement events. and or public education events where they look at their existing beat structure and they identify some longer form stories or some pretty significant things that are impacting their communities more holistically or maybe impacting a group very substantially. And they host a public event where they welcome the community in, but ultimately it's to bring the community in conversation with them. Far too long, I think we've had a wall that made our industry seem very impenetrable. And I think it's okay to recognize that we too are human. And I think that's the value that people today really need, to know that I'm just like them. So let's have a conversation.
A lot of your message is for the journalism world, and I've been focusing on that. But in that piece I mentioned you wrote in the Journal Sentinel, I think you're also speaking to citizens, news consumers, people, right, out in the public. What is your advice to people on how to engage with the news and how to kind of encourage the kind of journalism that they want to see?
A couple of different things I think we could be doing. One is we have to be sustaining news diets. And I know right now it's really hard for people. We're seeing growth in avoidance. We are seeing people clamoring for positive news, whatever they define that as being. But we have to have people engaging with that information. And in some ways, what we're seeing with news creators or those quote unquote news influencers is we're seeing people really getting that information in front of them in a different way, which is allowing people's news diets to start expanding. So I think we need to help people have consistent news diets. That's one. I think people should not be afraid to write letters to the editor, to engage with their communities. When I wrote that piece, I had legitimately 40 different emails within 2 days just from that one article. The Seattle Times reran it, and I had a bunch from their area engaging with me and engaging with my argument. People should feel okay engaging in discussion and sometimes debate and deliberation and not feel as though the news is going to turn them down from that. I think the other thing is, we have to want more, not only of the institution, not only of journalism, but of ourselves. And sometimes that's really hard to do. And again, I taught high school for a long time. I dealt with a lot of teenagers who were trying to find themselves. And I think journalism is in that weirdly adolescent moment. I mean, it's been around a long time, but I think we as a country are also in that moment. And so I think we collectively need to ask, what are the better angels that we're asking of ourselves and of our news? And moving forward, we have to seek that better system, one that improves the way in which we see ourselves, the way in which we see others, and in doing so, creates a more sustainable system so that we aren't seeing what we're seeing in terms of declines in avoidance and economics and so on and so forth.
Patrick, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
That's Patrick Johnson, assistant professor of journalism at Marquette's Diedrich College of Communication. He's also a research affiliate with both Trusting News and the Center for Information Technology and Public Life at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Been talking about what people want to get from their local news coverage.